Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Championship Chatter. I'm Oliver Newman, and my co-host is Tom Lindbury. We'd just like to say at this moment in time, we did the preview for Championship Chatter last week, and there's been some sound issues, and we're working really hard to correct those sound issues, hopefully in this podcast, if not, in the future, so please stay with us. So yeah, I'd just like to give a little bit of backstory on me and Tom. We both in professional wrestling, in terms of wrestling fans, and we got introduced to each other in 2008 at a wrestling show in Wolverhampton. We've been friends since then. Tom's kind of branching away from wrestling. I'm still involved in it and have gone on to become a free-time pro wrestling author. If you have any interest in professional wrestling, my books are A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. Me and Tom spoke about possibly doing a World Cup review during the summer. Unfortunately, our timetables didn't match. We enjoyed the World Cup and we talked about doing, you know, Championship Chatter. That's the name that Tom came up with, and I completely agree with it. He's an Ipswich Town fan, I'm a Birmingham City fan, and with that, we've got a vested interest in the Championship, and this is how it came to be. So yeah, once again, my co-host at this time, Mr. Tom Lindbury. How are you doing today, Tom?
Hi Ollie, I am very, very tired as you are well aware, but we've been friends for ages. I didn't realise it's been nearly 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, very long time. Too long in certain instances.
Well, that's all your fault. You are a Birmingham City fan, so...
And you're an Ipswich City fan, are you, Tom?
Yes. They're very popular in East Anglia.
I'm sure they are.
They are.
So, yeah, enough about us, Tom. This isn't what the show is about. So, just wanted to talk about the weekend's fixtures. So, Reading versus Derby was the first Championship fixture on the Friday night. And... first of all, what did you make of this game?
I didn't see it as it happened, but from the highlights I watched, it looked a really good game. It went right till the end when Derby got the last gasp winner. But I'm quite happy that Frank Lampard got the first winners in his managerial career. But it was a good game. I really enjoyed it, as with a lot of games during the weekend. It kept you on the edge of your seat right till the end.
And for myself, I thought that Reading had the better of it in the first half. A great header by Bonvardsen. I'm not very good at pronunciation, so correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. That was a superb header to make it 1-0. Menones made a big mistake, which kind of a running theme for the weekend, as we'll discuss in greater detail later. He makes a big mistake for the equaliser. The goalkeeper's got to save it. He's near post. Fantastic save in terms of, you know, keeping Reading in the game. Frank Lampard, as you mentioned, his first game as Derby boss, and he sent on a couple of subs with Tom Lawrence heading an absolutely cracking winner. Reading didn't deserve to lose this game, but... Derby picked up a huge 3 points. Sheffield United versus Swansea, Tom.
Now, I watched this Saturday afternoon while you were doing other things, and it kept me captivated end to end. I don't really quite know where to start with the game, but like, both teams were out as soon as the first whistle went, and there was some great football. And like, I don't think either team deserved to lose. I think it should have been a draw in the end, really, but Swansea really played well sort of the last 15-20 minutes of that game, and I was quite shocked they won that game because I thought Sheffield United really were on top of them. So, yeah, well done to Swansea. But another game that could have been a draw and it would have been a fair result.
This was the game for me. There's a bit of controversy in this game, Tom. What did you think about the Sheffield United penalty appeal?
I don't think it should have. Yeah, no. No. I can't, because at the time I was watching it, I was doing something else, but no, I don't think it should have been a penalty.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think the officials were spot on with that. Baldock scoring on his debut, but the keeper once again possibly could have saved it for scoring for Sheffield United. Sorry, on his debut,
yeah.
Keeper Henderson's had a blinder, very unlucky with the equaliser from Ollie McBurney. Swansea had a couple of chances hitting the crossbar, and then Danda, who's signed from Liverpool, scores on his debut for Swansea. The quintessential super sub there. And 2-1.
How did you look at the game? I mean, do you think that's a fair result, 2-1 to Swansea, or do you think it should have been a draw?
From the highlights that I saw, and the chances that Swansea had, I think they just about edged it, to be honest. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the last 10 minutes it was really all Swansea, so mm-hmm. I mean, if you only switched it on and watched the last 20 and you saw Swansea all over the last 10, you would think that's a fair result. But I don't know, I think, you know, both teams could have won it. It could have been a draw, but it was a great game either way.
You know, for me, I caught the highlights. You know, it's changed over to Quest, hasn't it? So I saw the highlights, and from what I saw, Swansea just about edged it. West Bromwich Albion versus Bolton Wanderers.
Now, this was a good game. I've seen some of the highlights of this game, but Bolton took the lead in this game, which shocked me kind of a bit, because I wasn't expecting them to go to the Hawthorns and really do much. But I'm going to butcher names all afternoon, probably like you are. But Dennis got the opening goal, and I mean, I really thought Bolton were going to go on and score a few more, but they just seemed to couldn't find the net, and just before half time Barnes were the equaliser. So that's a great result for them away from home against the next Premiership side. So
one second, we've got to take a second here, Tom, to talk about Harvey Barnes' goal. What a sensational strike.
It was something special.
It was absolutely beautiful. Sorry to cut you off there, but I thought it had to be said. What about the boiler mascot, Tom?
The what, sorry?
The boiler mascot for West Bromwich Albion.
I didn't see that.
Did you not see it? It went viral, mate. It was.
As you know, I've
been busy. It was fantastic. But yeah, to add on to your points, McGuinness, I believe. Hopefully, I'm not butchering any names.
I think it's McGuinness.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know, one of the signings we talked about, and he scores on his debut. So does Harvey Barnes. There was a great save by Ben Anik, and Wall shuts goal to win the match. I don't know about you, Tom, but I thought that the goalkeeper went down in stages here.
Yeah, it looked like he's been in slow motion. It looked like a 1970s comedy, silent comedy.
Yeah.
And he was just sort of falling over really gradually. I was like, what is he up to? But that was a good goal again, another good goal in that game.
Yeah, but it was really strange because Sam Johnson's a top quality keeper. Strange goal to concede. And then of course West Bromwich Albion did have the chances with Hegazi hitting the crossbar. And you know, just in summary, Tom, do you think this is a well deserved Bolton win? Or
I didn't expect much from this game. I can't remember what I picked for this game. I think I might have done a West Brom draw, but win. But after what I saw, I mean, I was sat here watching Sky Sports Saturday afternoon, and when Bolton got their winner, I was just like, wow, an expedition side against the side nearly got relegated and they've won. I thought it was brilliant. So.
Yeah, I have to say at this point, since you've mentioned it, you did a fantastic job. It was like Soccer Saturday, Teletext and BT Sports Score rolled into one, with all the updates I was getting from Championship, from Champ Chatter V2, which is our official Twitter handle. Cheap plug.
Yeah. No, I had a lot of fun Saturday afternoon. It was... And there was a lot of goals in the first half. I think it was 13 goals in the first half of all the Championship games. I really enjoyed it. But, yeah.
I really enjoyed it when I got the opportunity to catch up with it, Tom. So thank you very much for keeping us up to date with that.
Hopefully I'll get to do it this Saturday.
Yeah, here's hoping I might get involved myself. So we'll see if we can both do it, maybe. Yeah, Millwall against Middlesbrough. This was... one of the matches that I picked out as being really, this could be a really good game. In the end, it's finished 2-2, so I was spot on with the fact that was going to be the case. So, yeah, let's break it down. O'Brien makes it 1-0. Cooper almost makes it 2. It's poor defending from Borough. I mean, you talk about calamity. The calamity for the second goal for Millwall was quite shocking, really.
Yeah.
Morrison should have made it 3-0. He ended up in the net, but the ball didn't, and that was an absolute key moment. Braithwaite made it 2-1, and Friend in the 97th minute, which once again was a theme of the weekend, makes it 2-2. And Middlesbrough there have had a fan, you know, probably the comeback of the weekend.
Well, again, as I was sat here doing live tweeting during the game, I honestly thought Millwall were going to go on and win that 2-3-4-0, and when I watched the highlights, Borough in the first half seemed to be non-existent. I mean, their defence looked like they were out Saturday afternoon shopping down the town. I mean, it was terrible. But second half, I don't know what was said in the changing room at half time, but they came out with a fire that I have never seen from a team, and especially the last 10-15 minutes. And the late goal by Friend, as you mentioned. I mean, I never saw it being a draw. Perhaps Borough getting one back, but cracking game. I mean, another cracking game from the Championship to start the weekend.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, they, you know, Borough went into the dressing room and had to deal with an angry Tony Pulis. So that's probably what happened there, Tom.
He's an awesome manager. He is. I mean, look at what he's done. He took Stoke to the Premiership and like all the other things he's accomplished during his career. I mean, you can't, you know, but it being a fella.
It is a good manager, definitely. His style of play is something to be desired, but maybe it was the players he had at the time. I think this is your surprise package for the Championship this season.
Oh, Preston.
Preston North End, yeah, against Queen's Park Rangers.
Now this, I haven't seen the highlights of this one, I'll be honest, but Saturday afternoon when I was watching the thing, there really wasn't that many updates in that game. And I was like, oh, are Preston going to start off with a draw? I mean, QPR are really a team that they should be beating at home. And then the second half, Alan Brown scored within like 5 minutes of the restart, and I think Preston could have probably kicked on and scored a few more, but there you go, you see, it's a surprise package.
You're going to take credit for that at the end of the season, Tom?
Of course!
Yeah, I'm proud, yeah. The notes that I made for this was the financial fair play irregularities regarding Queen's Park Rangers have played a big part in their pre-season, and what's been said is they can't sign anyone, so it's going to be a tough long season for QPR fans. Like you said, Brown with the winner and the save of the weekend from Declan Rudd, absolutely incredible save.
Yeah, it was a cracking game.
But you haven't seen the highlights, have you? So you wouldn't have seen that save.
Well,
but
from what I was hearing at the time, I'll go with that.
Yeah, Bristol City versus Nottingham Forest. Wyman,
What? Anders Weidman opened the scoring on 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the highlights of this. Very cagey affair between two sides who really should be looking at the playoffs. But I really do think Bristol City should have won this in the first half. They sort of were all over Nottingham Forest. And Forest got back into it a minute into the second half with Daryl Murphy, an ex-Ipswich player, with the equaliser. But not a fair result for me. I think, if anything, Bristol City should have won this 2-1. But both teams should be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. But I think this is a game that Bristol City should have won at home.
We talked about in the preview show how much Weidman would mean to Bristol City, and we had it right there. He scores on his debut. Like you said, they're in the ascendancy. Osborne makes a goal line clearance, and then Murphy scores the equaliser after a Guardiola cross. So, I think in this situation, you had two top teams who didn't want to give too much away, and they kind of cancelled each other out, as some teams tend to do.
I think towards the end, I think it was very cagey where they weren't really pushing forward either team, and it just turned into a midfield battle that ended in a 1-1 draw.
Exactly. Yeah, now to Tom's favourite part of the show, it's Ipswich. Ipswich versus Blackburn, and I'll go first this time. Sears crosses for Edwards, new signing, and he scores with a sensational header.
I also note, before you carry on, Ollie, sorry to cut you off, but the first goal of the afternoon in the Championships was scored by Ipswich.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one loud and clear.
Oh,
yes. Edwards, your new signing, scores with an absolute postage stamp header. That was unbelievable goal. Your keeper, who we wanted for $3 million, who I'm glad we didn't pick up now, makes a horrendous mistake. Who makes a horrendous mistake for Danny Graham to make it 1-1. Bradley Dack, who was superb in League One in the last few seasons, player of the year, makes it 2-1. He then has an appeal for a penalty. I'm sure you're going to say this with no bias involved. Was that a penalty, Tom?
In all honesty, I think it was.
Okay, so no bias involved.
It may be my team, but like, at the end of the day, if you sit here and just say nothing against them, then you're not really a very good fan.
Nah, that's fair enough. Morris comes off the bench for Ipswich and almost scores. Here's that man again. Really impressive debut by Edwards. Green Edwards, I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Techers by him. Absolutely fantastic touch. And if he had have finished it, it would have been one of the goals of the season. And then, and then once again, with moments to go, last-ditch equaliser by your new signing, Edwan.
See, it's good we make some new signings, really, isn't it? Because otherwise we'd have been stuffed.
You'd have lost this one
2-0. Because Waghorn wasn't even on the bench.
Yeah, and
we'll get to that in a moment.
And Edwan, I think his name is, and yeah, once again, apologise for butchering if that happened, because I'm not very good with pronunciation. He crosses it into the box. Keeper's taking it for granted, and it's gone in off the post.
And
Ipswich have drawn 2-2, but it has to be said that earlier in the match, Casey Palmer had a really, really top chance for Blackburn to make it 3-1. He didn't take it, and that's what happens. If you don't take your chances in the Championship, you tend to get punished for it.
Well, I didn't watch the game live like I wanted to. I originally was going to go to this match, but plans changed, unfortunately. But when I saw the highlights, honestly, I thought we were better than I thought we were going to be. We've made some new signings the last couple of days, which we'll get to a bit later on. But overall, I think we played better than we could like Blackburn, for a team that's just come up from League One, were really impressive. And but I still think 2-2 is a fair result.
Is it windy where you are, Tom?
Yeah, I'm sat on the roof.
Cheers for that. Okay, so the next match is Wigan Athletic versus Sheffield Wednesday. Go on.
This game, I thought Wigan Athletic could have probably won 3-4-5-0 because they were just all over Sheffield Wednesday. I'm not quite sure how Wednesday scored anything, but Wednesday haven't signed anyone before this game, and you could tell they had to improve their squad and out, and Wigan took the lead on 11 minutes with a really good goal, and then doubled their lead about 10-15 minutes later as Jacobs got both of them. And I mean, there and then I thought, well, this is game, set and match, but it was 2-1 at half time to Wigan. But I really do feel that Wigan could have edged on and put in a few more. I mean, Will Grigg was...
He wasn't on fire in this match, I'm afraid.
I think Sheffield Wednesday put him out, to be fair.
What did you make of Nick Powell's assist for the second goal?
I thought it was class.
If he meant that was fantastic.
Well, you draw your own judgment, but I think it's class. I don't
think he
meant it.
And... once again with names Nitiu something along those lines sent off. Like you said, Sheffield Wednesday in this match looked like they were going to get pasted.
I don't understand how they got to. I really, from watching the highlights and from hearing when I was watching it Saturday afternoon, I really don't understand how they scored two goals. I think Wigan must have been having a water break.
And like you said, I think we both said it, Sheffield Wednesday haven't added to the team and could be in trouble this season, really.
Well, I think my prediction of them being near the top is a crock, but anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised at that prediction, to be honest, but each to their own.
You never said anything at the time.
Oh no, I'm not going to say it at the time. Brentford versus Rotherham. I'm sure from both of us this gets the performance of the weekend.
Because I was doing the live tweet on Saturday, gave them team of the afternoon, because they were just all over Rotherham. Again, I think they could have probably got to 10 if they'd have wanted to, but I mean, they were quality. I think if they're going to play like that all season, they're a team you're not going to want to play.
And their last season at Griffin Park as well, Tom, what do you make of that?
I love Griffin Park, especially when you fly over going to Heathrow. It looks really cool. But, it's a shame when you lose old grounds for new stadiums and whatnot, but it's probably beneficial to the club in the long run. But Griffin Park, I've been to one game there, I can't remember who it was, but it's a nice ground. You know, it's one of the old grounds, so...
But yeah, just to speak on this and stuff, it was said on the EFL review show on Quest about if you would pay to go and see a team for the season, who would you pick? And I can completely understand why they picked Brentford, because they play some of the best football, and the goals were pretty much a testament to that. All of them well worked. And finished with such a plan that, you know, Rotherham didn't stand the chance. I fear for Rotherham just based on this performance, but it is Brentford and it is Brentford away from home. So hopefully they can put that into perspective.
I just hope it's not this weekend. Because if it is, I'm going to be one sad chap next.
You are, yeah, definitely. And it's probably my favourite part of the show now, as we talk Birmingham City versus Norwich City.
I thought we were going to talk about me buying you lunch at some point. That's usually your favourite bit.
Oh, Tom, you kidder. Do you want to take the lead on this?
Well, really know, because it's your favourite team and Ipswich's rival, so where to start?
Okay.
Cancelled. this game was a lot of fun. I mean, I sat here again, I've seen the highlights. Birmingham played really well for a lot of it, and so did Norwich at various points, but I really do think it's a shame that Birmingham lost this, and I hate to say that because, you know.
We didn't lose it, Tom.
I get in there, hold on. But no, I think they deserve to win, so. I don't know. There was a really good goal by Birmingham, but I can't remember which one it was because I had too many bangs on the head. I think Birmingham should have won it, really. And I mean, Hernandez getting that really late equaliser was an absolute blow. Because I was just about ready to message you and go, start the gloating now. And Hernandez scored, and I was like, oh man, that's so funny. So, yeah.
Yeah, cheers for taking pleasure in my pain there, Tom.
But fair enough. I mean, if Birmingham are going to play like that every week, then you've got nothing to worry about going forward.
At the back, that's a different story. Right, so Connell Truman makes his debut and makes an absolutely superb save from Jordan Rhodes. That's how you debut in goal for a club. That was a tremendous save. It's been said, and from the highlights, I picked it up as well. Norwich were probably better than Blues, in all honesty. You know, the keeper, Truman,
is... I really don't know. I mean, from what I saw, I really thought Birmingham would be a better team
over. Well, yeah. Truman basically was in a match-up against Rhodes, and I think he won that one 2-0. By making another last-ditch save in the second half. Magoma makes it 1-0 to Birmingham with an absolutely sensational left-footed strike in off the crossbar. One of the goals of the weekend, I have no doubt. No bias involved whatsoever. Poor defending, and once again, from a keeping perspective, for Hernandez's first goal to make it 1-1. A great through ball for Viv Solomon Ottebor to make it 2-1. And like you said, that was with minutes to go. Poor defending again for the Norwich equaliser. Hernandez picking up his second goal of the game. It is really surreal that we both sit here and we've both attained 2-2 draws on the opening day of the Championship season.
And what did I say when we did predictions, eh?
We'll come back to that in a bit, Tom.
Yeah, I thought we might.
So, yeah, moving on from that to the Sunday game, which was Leeds United versus Stoke City.
Again, as you know, I was elsewhere, so...
I'll take the lead on this one then, Tom.
Probably best.
Yeah, this was a rude awakening for Stoke City. Leeds were absolutely fantastic. They went 1-0 off from Klitsch. Ince hits the crossbar for Stoke. And that was the opportunity, basically. If they had scored then who knows, maybe they would have got back in the game. But the way Leeds were playing, they were playing at a canter. Could have been 2 or 3 up. Hernandez, just before half-time, scores a second goal once again. It's a goalkeeping mistake by England international Jack Butland, and obviously a former Birmingham City player himself. So it's always horrible to see a keeper of that calibre make that kind of mistake. A phobia with the penalty in the second half. What did we make of the penalty decision in general, Tom?
Again, I think it's one of those ones where it depends on the official, it depends on the direction of the wind, and it depends what the effort like.
Yeah,
I don't think this was.
Okay, I think it was a penalty in this instance, and then... that was Stoke's way back into the game. That was 2-1. But then shortly after a fantastic corner, Cooper makes it 3-1, and that's game over.
Well, I was reading the Championship Chatter Twitter feed while I was otherwise engaged Sunday afternoon, and it looks a cracking game. And I mean, you were saying it was a really good game when I messaged you on and off, but fair play to Leeds. I mean, I gave Stoke the championship this season, so
we both did, Tom.
Sorry,
we both gave Stoke the championship this season.
And I mean, I think we both had Leeds sort of up there, but I didn't expect this. I thought Stoke would probably win this one. So fair play to Leeds, you know, and we'll see where we go next.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, when we was talking, when we were previewing the fixtures, when I said Leeds versus Stoke, your response was, "Whoa." Monday night's game, Hull City versus Aston Villa.
Again, this is another one that's in highlights off because, as you well know, I was otherwise against.
Yeah. That's what happens when work takes precedent. So once again, I'll take the lead on this, and hopefully with no bias involved because of who I'm connected to.
Yeah, no bashing Hull City.
Yeah, exactly. So Hull take the lead with a really smart goal by Evandro, and they look in the ascendancy, but the defence goes missing from a corner and Alfick makes it 1-1. In the second half, Villa are in the ascendancy, and Jack Grealish is showing exactly why Tottenham have bidded 25 million for him. Al Mohammadi makes it 2-1 against his old club. And Hutton ends the game with the third goal. And I loved his passion going into the fans, showing that there definitely needs to be a connection between the players and the fans. And I really respected that. Fantastic win for Aston Villa. And the absolute key point is they need to keep hold of Jack Grealish.
Well, they've still got him at the moment because I'm watching the transfer ticker, but for how long? Anyway, back to the game. When Hull took the lead, I watched the highlights and saw the result before I watched the highlights, from what I saw, it was a deserved win for Villa, but you could see Hull City started very well, but sort of tapered off towards the end. And there's an ex-Bognor player that scored a goal there in Tommy Elphick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's played Brighton. We got him on loan once. Well done to Villa. I mean, that's fair enough. They've started well. Leeds have started well. So all the teams we kind of expected to do well have fun.
Well, it's a big 3 points for Villa because...
And it's an away 3 points as well.
Exactly, it's a big 3 points and an away 3 points, like you've just said, because they could have had a playoff final hangover. And with the start to the match, it looked like that could be the case, but they took advantage of the three top quality chances and the finishes were superb, in all honesty. And with that, the weekend's fixtures are rounded up nicely. That's very good.
I think we did very well.
But for some reason, two fixtures got added to the schedule on Tuesday night, and they were Middlesbrough against Sheffield United. You don't want to add, okay?
I haven't even seen highlights of that because, I mean, really honest with you, the last couple of days have been a bit hectic for me. But I can see that they won the game, Middlesbrough. So, well done to Middlesbrough. But I'll let you lead because you probably watched it.
Yeah, basically, the match is over in 30 minutes as Middlesbrough score two corners and Downing gets the third. Well, against Swansea, they looked super competitive against Middlesbrough. The game's over in 30 minutes. So, hopefully they can get the consistency they need to be competitive in the Championship this season.
Yeah, I can see Sheffield United being one of them teams that sort of, they do really well, but they seem to not get the result. Though they have got ex-Ipswich player David McGoldrick up front, so I don't understand why they're not doing well.
I think it's just about gelling the team, isn't it, really? They've signed Ben Woodburn as well, which we think is one of the best Championship signings this season. But
a good player.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a short while. I hope Middlesbrough have peaked, in all honesty, because we've got them on Saturday and we don't tend to do well there.
Oh, you've got them at Riverside?
Yeah, we got them at the Riverside, yeah.
Oh.
Oh dear, oh dear.
I'm old bugger.
Yeah. And the last game of this championship roundup is Nottingham Forest in a Midlands derby against West Bromwich Albion. And you didn't see this one either because work takes precedent, as I've said.
I should explain that I'm not actually at work now, I'm actually asleep.
Okay.
Because I have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
Okay, well, he's asleep and he's got to go to work early in the morning.
So I leave Holly in charge of the midweek things.
Yeah. But that's a good balance. I do the midweek, you do the Saturday and the Sunday.
I do manic Saturdays and you do easy weekday games.
Yeah, okay. This was 0-0, but I'm not sure how up until when Guardiola scores. Once again, this was possibly another goalkeeping mistake. It did take a deflection, but it still landed quite close to the keeper and he just couldn't keep it out. He almost adds a beautiful second. Think David Beckham against Wimbledon at Selhurst Park all those years ago.
What a cracker that was.
Exactly. Sam Johnson pulls off a blinding save to keep West Bromwich Albion in the game. And then, honest to God, the last 10 minutes are absolutely frantic. Some of the best you'll see of the Championship this season. Matt Phillips smacks in an absolute blinder to make it 1-1. Then, in the dying minutes, Matt Phillips crosses the ball in. It hits the post. It comes back out. It gets passed to Harvey Barnes, who hits the crossbar, and then Dwight Gale puts it in the keeper's hands. And West Bromwich Albion, who had been pretty dismal up until the equaliser, almost had a 2-1 win. Absolutely sensational ending to that match.
I must say, and I know you briefly touched on this earlier, but there's been a lot of late goals in the first week of games. And the way we sort of described a lot of these games, that they're absolutely fantastic, and it's not that we're being biased or anything, but like a lot of these games have had some fantastic goals or play or ends to games, which makes the championship, which is the reason why the championship is a league you really should watch.
Well, when it comes down to it, Tom, we've had 14 games and not one 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
Which sums up the greatness the Championship can bring to the table. So that's our roundup done. The review of the weekend's games and Tuesday night, because, you know, why not? So you know, obviously you've been on Championship Chatter on Twitter, and you've seen different bits and pieces. Tom, have you seen any notable new signings on transfer deadline day? And before.
I haven't been keeping up to date with it like religiously, because it seems to be a lot of the Premiership or League One have made quite a few signings today. But I mean, that's not really anything to do with us. But like, Peter signed two players yesterday.
And one today.
I haven't seen your one today.
Yep, you've signed Caden Jackson from Accrington Stanley.
Oh, I'll tell a lie, I have just seen that. Literally like 2 minutes ago while you were talking.
Yeah, and I have to say at this point, when I was playing Football Manager, I think a season ago.
Other games are available. Go on.
Yeah, when I had him signed for, I think, Tamworth, he was a goal scorer, man. If he's anywhere as good as Football Manager, you got yourself a hell of a player there, Tom.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think we've added to the squad, if anything. And if we can keep everyone fit, I'd like one more striker, seeing as we've got rid of Waghorn. Well, we didn't get rid of Waghorn, but like, he's gone to Derby after almost signing with like 10 other clubs. But I don't know. I mean, it was an odd signing for them. I don't think that's the best place he could have gone to get first team football, but it's up to him. Like,
I mentioned this on the Twitter and stuff. Would you have had Vidra if he went the other way?
Well, yeah. I mean, we need a striker, not just, you know, anyone off the street, but we do need a striker that... We need a prolific goal scorer, basically. Someone that can net, like, 16 to 28 a season.
Well, Vidra was the top goal scorer in the Championship last season, wasn't he?
I mean, we could have done with him, but, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, we could have gone out and got somebody else, but, you know, I think from what we've done now, I think we can do quite well going forward. So that's fine by me.
Fair enough.
I see you've loaned out a player to St Mirren today.
Yeah, Nikolai Brock-Madsen, sorry. Young guy who's not really been given a chance at Birmingham. Needs to now go out and prove himself and then come back. Hope he does, in all honesty. Cause
so what, it's like a work in progress.
Yeah, once again, with regards to FM, and that's short for Football Manager, he's not a bad player in there, in all honesty. And what I've seen of him, he's just a young player come from a different league who just needs to settle, really. And hopefully he can do that at St Mirren. And then regarding the other signings that we've made, Omar Bogle coming back to St Andrews is fantastic. I wasn't aware that he was at the club, first of all, but that's a good signing, a good striker. Connor Mahoney is a winger, and I've said on Cham Chatter V2 that the other signing I'd like to make today, and Lee Camp as well from a goalkeeper's perspective, but the fans aren't really sure about that one. The other signing I want to make today is Wes Hoolahan, who's left Norwich City, and I think he's available on a free transfer. So I'd be happy if we could get him, because he's a creative midfield player. Well, he's a free transfer, so I'm not sure if that counts.
I think, I don't know.
It's more about money transfers today, isn't it? So we're outside the transfer embargo, but still under strict restrictions of five players. So we've signed Christian Pedersen, Omar Bogle, Connor Mahoney, Lee Camp. That's four. So we got one more space. And a Wes Hoolahan kind of creative midfield player would be most welcome at St Andrews. All right. So with that being said, Ollie versus Tom from the preview show.
Oh, yes. Do inform the listeners on who won this.
Tom absolutely smashed me. Without taking
whoa, the. Whoa! Predictions, folks. We do live 109 miles away.
On predictions, why do you always have to lower the tone of the show?
You've known me for nearly 10 years. We've established that.
Yeah, we've established. The audience doesn't know you, Tom.
Well, they're soon good.
Yeah, they will. Basically, apart from the ones that we both got correct, Tom won 4-1. So we'll take.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll take. We'll take that as Tom 1, Ollie 0, going into the next round of fixtures. So, right then, yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to preview this weekend's matches. So, we'll do the win, loss, lose or draw, which we did on the preview show. And that's how we'll preview the fixtures, sorry. Right, here's the fixtures for the weekend.
In fact, I have them in front of me too.
Oh, wow. Your internet's working this week. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we've got 12 fixtures to play with. 11 fixtures are at 3 o'clock. And the TV fixture is an absolute corker once again, as Frank Lampard's Derby County take on Leeds United at Pride Park.
That is a sexy.
Yeah, that could be, much like the Leeds-Stoke game from last weekend, that could be the fixture of the weekend. So let's get straight to it, Tom. Derby Leeds, win, lose or draw?
Derby home win. Because they've signed Martin Wagner, come on.
Yeah, of course. Based on the two performances I saw last weekend, I thought Leeds were more impressive than Derby, but Derby obviously got a really good 3 points at Reading. I'm going to go for an away win, Leeds win. Okay, and then to the 3 o'clock fixtures.
Yes.
Aston Villa versus Wigan.
Well, it looks like Villa are going to keep Grealish, but I don't think that makes head nor tail of this fixture. Wigan plays really well against Wednesday, but I'm still going to give Villa a home win.
And this is always the fun fixture for me. Wigan were really good against Sheffield Wednesday, but showed defensive frailties. Villa looked like they was going to suffer a championship playoff final hangover, but turned it around against Hull. Close game, but I think, home win. So, next match is Blackburn versus Millwall.
Well, they drew 2-2 against us, and Millwall drew 2-2.
Against Borough.
Against the Middles at Aburo. So, I can see this one being a draw as well. A score draw.
Okay. Blackburn drawed against you, like you said. Millwall drawed against Borough. Blackburn were good going forward, but defensive frailties. Millwall were good going forward, but in the end, I'm going to say... yeah, score draw. I'll have for that as well. Bolton against Bristol City.
Well, Bolton pulled a shocker for me at the Hawthorns last weekend, winning 2-1. Bristol City drew 1-1 at home in Nottingham Forest, so I don't know. I mean, I didn't hold Bolton in much regard for this season, but now they've sort of done that at West Brom. I'm going to go Bolton home win.
I'm going to look at it and like I said, it was probably the results of the weekend, the shock result of the weekend in the Championship was the Bolton beating West Bromwich Albion away from home. Bristol City, you know, were up against Forest and could have could have beat them, didn't. I think this is the one where Bristol City pick up the first 3 points of the season.
Ooh, contentious.
Middlesbrough against Birmingham.
Borough. I should have taken that into consideration. Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough against Birmingham, like I said. Borough were very bad defensively against Millwall, but
Birmingham were crap against Norwich in defence.
But picked up a very good point from a comeback perspective in the week. They got 3 goals in 30 minutes against Sheffield United. So, like I said, I hope they peaked on Tuesday. Never going to bet against Birmingham. So, I'm hoping against hope that we pick up a point.
I'm not a penguin.
What?
To pick up a point.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I got that.
Come on, mate. Quick
thinking. Yeah.
Come on, gum, apples and pears.
It's Tom's favourite team against West Bromwich Albion. That's Norwich City. How do you think this one's going to go?
When I look at fixtures, like, you have to go with the home team when you start looking. This is how I. You have to go with a home team because they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the team they're playing. Now they're playing West Brom, who have just come down from the Premiership, but shipped most of their players out and about around the country. And even though they scored against Bolton at home, I don't think they deserve to win that game, which they didn't. So that's a fair result, but I can't see anything past Norwich winning this.
See, the thing is with this, Norwich were good against us. Probably should have won, in all honesty, with the chances that they had. We almost picked up the 3 points and they got a draw out of that. West Brom have played twice, losing to Bolton, as has been discussed. And then I think, and this is the absolute key thing regarding this fixture, they drawed against Forest and they could have beat Forest. So I think if they keep that momentum up, they can beat Norwich away from home. So I'm going to go with West Brom.
Really?
Really.
That's because you're just trying to claw back to me, aren't you?
No, nothing, not at all. West Brom in those last 10 minutes, if they can keep that momentum for this game, then yeah, I think they can beat Norwich. And this is the one. They can't go three games into a season without 3 points if they want to be up there. Nottingham Forest against Reading.
I think Reading were unlucky against Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get something out of that game. They started off well and just tapered off towards the end. It looked like Derby were a lot fitter. Nottingham Forest. They've had two draws. I'd say they win this. Nottingham Forest.
You know, to agree with yourself, I know this is a strange occurrence for you, Tom, but sometimes it happens.
Me and you agreeing on something.
Reading, like you said, very unlucky against Derby, should have got a point. Forest have started with two draws, but they should have beat West Bromwich Albion. That wasn't the case. This is going to be another tough game for both teams, but I'm going to go with a Forest win.
Yeah, I agree.
QPR against Sheffield United.
I hope both teams have a lovely game. I think based on performance, Sheffield United, but I don't know. I mean, that is a tough one. I'm going to say Sheffield United.
See, the thing is with this game, if you look at the three games that between the two teams that have played this season so far, against Preston, QPR were in the game. For Sheffield United against Swansea, it was competitive, and then against Middlesbrough, they've just folded like a pack of cards. So, you know, it's kind of dependent on that, really. It's against the grain, but I think unless they get something on the board soon, it's one of the reasons why we said QPR will struggle. So I think they've got to win this game. So I'll go with QPR.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Rotherham against Ipswich. See, the thing is, when you're saying that, I don't think Rotherham got the opportunity to perform well against Brentford. I just think Brentford just had them at the canter, in all honesty. For this, we've got Rotherham lost 5-1, Ipswich drawed 2-2. Ipswich, once again, I guess we didn't say this, but in terms of a comeback... Yeah, a little bit less than the Middlesbrough against Millwall, but a comeback nevertheless. I can't see anything other than a away win here. Ipswich for the win. Sheffield Wednesday versus Hull City.
Goals against Wigan, but still, you know, they haven't really added to the squad to push themselves up the table. Hull City, they lost to Villa. I mean, that's a fair result, I think. I'm going to go Hull City.
Yeah, I think if you look at the fixtures that we've seen, Sheffield Wednesday could have got really turned over against Wigan, but managed to get two goals. So they have got goal scorers in the team. Hull started really well against Villa, but then got turned over in themselves. So in this situation, I'm going to say a score draw.
Okay.
Stoke against Brentford. This could be one of the fixtures of the weekend.
I think this will be the fixture of the weekend, to be honest. I mean, Stoke, for all intents and purposes, underwhelmed against Leeds for the most part, and they lost 3-1. Brentford blew Rotherham in the dark, and it's it's a very tough one to call. When I first looked at that, I said draw, but honestly, I could see Brentford winning.
To take your point, Stoke losing 3-1 away at Leeds. Leeds were fantastic. Stoke need to reassess in this championship. There's no games that you can take for granted. Brentford were sensational against Rotherham. You've got a team that can pass the ball as well as Brentford against Stoke. I'm going to go with you, Tom. I think that's an away win.
Yeah, last week, if we'd have had that discussion, I said, yeah, Stoke City all the way. But after last weekend, Brentford, I agree.
I think, in all honesty, you could probably put Brentford against any team in the Championship and they'd have a really good chance of beating them because of how they play football.
Yeah, I agree.
It's as simple as that. Swansea against Preston.
Well, Swansea went 1-0 to Sheffield United and came back to win that game 2-1. Preston had probably the easier fixture out of the two. Not that I'm saying they rolled QPR, but, again, another tough one to call, but I think you have to say Swansea in this one, because as much as I'm a Preston enthusiast, let's put it that way, they're going to do really well this season. I still think they tumble in this one.
I've put Swansea up there in my top three. Tom's got Preston as a surprise package. Swansea at home, the way they play football, and to go back to last weekend's fixtures, huge result at Bramall Lane. That's a really big 3 points. Preston got a good 3 points against QPR. But I'm going to have to go with a Swansea home win.
I think that's a fair result, to be fair.
And with that, we have wrapped up another episode of Championship Chatter. And yeah, thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope the sound issues that we had last week are less or completely eradicated this week.
I'm hoping you actually heard.
I'm hoping they heard you too, Tom, until you started. No, I'm not going to say that.
Go on, Ollie. Go on, son.
So, yeah, this has been Ollie and Tom's Championship Chatter.
Follow us on Twitter.
And, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us.
He's put the Twitter handle, isn't
he? I'm going to, Tom. And if you follow us on Twitter at ChampChatterV2, where we've had about 350 tweets, so you're going to get your money's worth, even though you have to pay for it. And
compare us if you want.
Yes, we'll make a PayPal up, and you can make a donation.
Can buy me dinner one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. In closing, it's always fun to do this with you, Tom. I'm glad we took this idea and made it a concept.
It has been a lot of fun.
And hope everyone enjoys the weekend's games, and we'll be back next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Ta-ra.